Today's Shiva in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Yud Gimel. We begin 5 lines from the top by the two dots. Yesterday's Shiva was sponsored by Brian Skernick, Lili Nishmas, his father's yard site, Shalom ben Avram Yitzchak. Only shows we learn for Shevin Aliyah from our learning. Now, we begin by quoting the Mishnah, which says, Ketzad Potros Tzorseim V'chulei. If you remember back from the Mishnah, the very first Mishnah in the Masechta, we had a potential series of Tzoros, What was that? We had, for example, in our classical case of several brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. So you have the first brother, Reuven, Nebuch, passes away, and his co-wives fall to Shimon. If there was an Erevah there, one of the 15 Chameshes Reinoshim, that didn't allow Yibam or Chalitza to be performed with Shimon, but it could still be performed with Levi. Shimon had a personal Negias with that Erva. It was his daughter, it was his daughter-in-law, it was his mother-in-law, etc. So he could not do Yibam Chalitza, but the other brothers, Levi and Yehuda, could. So, for example, you have the Erva, we'll call her Rachel, who falls in Yibam to Shimon. There's a co-wife in that situation, Leah. They're not sisters. So Rachel and Leah cannot fall in Yibam to Shimon because Rachel is the Erva and Leah is the Tzaris Erva, but they fall to Levi and Yehuda. So let's say Levi does Yibam with Leah, the Tzaras Erva. And then Nebuch, Levi passes away, and he has his own wife, besides Leah, he has his own wife, Chana. So now Chana and Leah fall again in Yibam to both Shimon and to Yehuda, Yisarcha, Zulun, etc., all the other brothers. The Tzaras Erva, Leah was the Tzaras Erva. Now, her co-wife now, Chana, is the Tzaras Erva, also cannot fall to Shimon in Yibam, because once there was this prohibited relationship, it continues for all the Tzaras. However, they could fall to Yehuda, and that's what happens here. Chana falls to Yehuda, but Yehuda has a co-wife. In addition to Chana, he has a co-wife, Sarah, and this then occurs. He marries through Yibam Chana, he has a co-wife to that Sarah, and then Yehuda Nebuch passes away. So now Sarah cannot even have Yibam with Shimon. This is Sarosehen. And therefore this goes on and on and on, and that's what the Mishnah was telling us. Just a quick reminder, Ketzad, Potros, Tzorosein, V'chulei. So the Gemara says, Minohanimili, how do we know this din? Where do we see that the co-wives would still be forbidden to Shimon to fall in Yibam to him? So Rav Yehuda says this is based upon the usage of the word litzror in the pasuk instead of lotzor, the extra resh. The Omar Kra, litzror. We had this drasha previously. HaTorah ribsa tzoros harbe. By adding on the extra resh, that comes to teach us that all the tzoros down the line, Yehuda's tzora, Yisachar's tzora, Zvulun tzora, etc., all of them would still have the same prohibition that the initial tzoros erva had to Shimon. That's the teretz that we had previously. This is from Rabbi Yehuda. This is based upon the drasha of the pasuk litzror. Ravashi has a different explanation. Ravashi Amar Svarihi. It's a logical deduction why the tzaras erva is not allowed to have yibum or chalitza. He says, what was the original reason in our case of Rachel and Leah, where Rachel was the erva and Leah was the tzaras erva? What was the original reason that we said that Leah could not have? This is according to the opinion of Beis Hillel, which we mentioned previously, and we'll see later in today's shir. What was the original reason in our Mishnah, which goes according to Beis Hillel, that Chameshes Reinoshim, the Tzara herself of the Erva, is not allowed? Tzara, Ma'itai Ma'asira, why was she prohibited? Because the Bimakom Erva Kaima, because she had Yibam in the same falling as did the original Erva. So just like the Erva cannot have Yibam, so too the Tzara's Erva cannot have Yibam. The B'makum Erva Kaima, she is alive, so to say, she's falling in the same Yibam as the Erva. So she's grouped together with the Erva. So too, Tzaras Tzara Nami, Bimkom Erva Kaima. So too, in my situation where Leah had Yibam with Levi, and Levi has another wife in that situation, Chana, so both of them are considered falling now to Shimon, and since the original Tzaras Erva, Leah, would not have been allowed, so too, this falling is considered Bimkom Erva Kaima, she's like having the Erva attached to her as well, and therefore she also is not allowed to go and have Yibam or Chalitza done. That's the rationale, according to Ravashi, a logical argument, not based upon the Psukim. Okay. Now we quote the Mishnah. It said, Kesad, what would be the din in Mesu, Hain, Vechule? What would be the din if, in fact, the marriage was not in existence at the time of Reuven's death? In other words, the Erva no longer was married to Reuven at the time of Reuven's death. So then that's not considered Tsaras Erva. And in fact, the Mishnah had said that in this situation where Rachel was the Erva and her co-wife, not related to her, Leah, was the other co-wife. So then if the Erva relationship was not there at the time of Reuven's death, in other words, Reuven had divorced the daughter-in-law, the mother-in-law, and she never fell in Yibam to Shimon. So then the fact that Leah at one time was the Tzara of an Erva is irrelevant. The Mishnah had said only if she was a Tzara of the Erva at the time of Reuven's death. But the fact that they once were together is not a reason that the Tzara's former Erva would not be allowed to be taken in Yibam. So again, Reuven has two wives. They're not related to each other. Rachel, who is an Erva to Shimon, one of the Chamesh Esrei Noshim, and Leah, who is not. So if they both fall together, i.e. they're still both married to Reuven, so then that's the classical case of the Erva is forbidden in Yibam, as well as the Tzaris Erva. But now we're talking in our Mishnah where Reuven had divorced, or she had died, the Erva. So therefore, Rachel is no longer in the marriage. So now, when Reuven Nebuch dies childless, the only wife is Leah, or there could be otherwise as well, but none of them are an Erva. So we do not apply the rule of Tzaras once an Erva in this situation. We say, right now, there is no Erva, and therefore, Leah, the non-Erva wife of Reuven, would in fact have a requirement of Yibam or Chalitza. That's what the Mishnah had said. Now the Gemara points out, this is true, Afilu Konas, even if Reuven was in fact married to both of them at the same time. In other words, there was at one point in time a relationship of Tzaras Erva. So Rachel and Leah were both married to Reuven at the same time. In this situation, even there, Afilu Konas, even if the Tzaras Erva was married to Reuven at the same time that the Erva was, Afilu Konas Ulu B'Sof Kirush, and only afterwards, after they had been married, co-wives together, did Reuven either divorce the Erva, Rachel, or that she passed away on her own. So then, even though they were once married together, this din of Tzaras Erva now being permitted because the Erva wasn't there at the time of Reuven's death, she was no longer in the picture, applies. So they don't have to have been consecutive marriage, they could have been simultaneously married. Now, what do I mean by consecutive marriages? So that would be that Reuven had married one wife, Rachel, and then he divorced her, and only subsequently did he marry the other wife. So in that situation, they never were married at the same time. So certainly in that situation, the din of Tzaras Erva doesn't apply. But the Chiddush of our Mishnah is, even if they were married at the same time, Afilu Konas Ulu B'Sof Kirush, Rachel and Leah were both wives of Reuven at some point in time, and just subsequent to Reuven's death, Rachel was divorced or she died. So at the time of Reuven's death, when they fall, there's only the Tzara, the previous Tzaras Erva, Leah, but not currently a Tzaras Erva because Rachel is no longer in the picture. Even in that situation, the Mishnah says that they fall, Leah and any other co-wives would fall, in fact, to Shimon. But this seems to be going against a Mishnah that we'll have later in the Masechta on Daf Lamed. And it says, Urminu, we question this now, the Mishnah over there says, you have three brothers, Shlosha Achen, three brothers. Now, they're married two women, two of them are sisters. So Reuven and Shimon are married to sisters. Here, Rachel and Leah are sisters. So Reuven is married to Rachel. We'll keep the same pattern. Shimon is married to Leah. And then there's a third brother, Levi, who's married to what we call a Nachriah. Now, it doesn't mean a Goita. It means a woman who's not related. She's married to a very nice Jewish woman, but unrelated to Rachel and Leah. So that's the scenario there in the Mishnah. Shlosha Achim, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, three brothers. Shnayim Mehen, the first two, Reuven and Shimon, are married to two sisters. Nesum Shnei Achoyos, Reuven is married to Rachel, and Shimon is married to Leah. Rachel and Leah here are sisters. And the third brother, Levi, Echad Nosui Nochris. He's married to a woman who is a Nochris to Rachel and Leah. She's not related to Rachel and Leah. Nice Jewish woman, not related to Rachel and Leah. Now, Girush, Echad Mibali Achayos Ishto. Let us say that Shimon goes and divorces his wife. Shimon divorces Leah. Leah is no longer in the picture. Now, and then, Umeis Hanasui Nochris, and then Nebuch Levi passes away. So Levi's wife, we'll call her Chana. So Chana falls in Yibam. Now she could fall in Yibam to both Reuven or to Shimon. She falls in Yibam to both of them. Only one of them can do Yibam. And Ukonso Hamigarish. So Shimon, who now has no wife, so he goes and takes her in Yibam. So what do we have now? Levi's out of the picture. His wife, his widow, is now married through Yibam to Shimon. And Reuven is still married to the first sister, Rachel. Ukonso Hamigarish. So that's where we are right now. Reuven is married to the first sister, Rachel. Shimon once had been married to the second sister, Leah, but he divorced her, and now he took in Yibam, Levi's wife, the Nochris, this unrelated Chana, to marry her through Yibam. Okay, and then Umes, and now, unfortunately, Shimon then dies. So now, the former widow of Levi, Chana, who now has been married to Shimon through Yibam, falls to Reuven. No problem, because Reuven is allowed to go and marry the tzara of what would have been an heir to him, Leah, because Leah and Chana had never been married at the same time to Shimon. Shimon had divorced her, this Mishnah tells us. This is the critical point. He had divorced Leah before Chana was married to Shimon via Yibam. And the Mishnah there says, only in such a case, Zuhi, in this situation where Leah and Chana were never married at the same time to Shimon, Shimon had divorced Leah before he took Chana in Yibam. So therefore, Zuhi Shamru, only in this case do we say, apply the principle from our Mishnah on Daf Beis, Shemeso Niskarshu, Sorosei Mutaros, if they weren't married at the time of Reuven's death, so only in this situation would they never were wives at the same time. They were consecutive wives. Shimon had first married Leah, the sister of Rachel. He divorced her, and then Levi died, and then he took Chana in Yibam. So Chana never was a co-wife at the same time with Shimon, with Leah. And therefore, in this and only this situation do we apply the rule, Shemeso Niskavshu Tzorosei Mutaros. Implication being, it was only because they were not wives at the same time. Taima, the Geirish, that Shimon had divorced Leah, and only the Achar Kach Konas, and only afterwards took, when Levi died, took Chana in Yibam. Therefore, Avol Konas, if in fact, before he had divorced Leah, Levi had died, and he took in Chana through Yibam, which is perfectly allowable, and now Shimon has two wives, the sister, Leah, as well as this Nochris, this other wife, Chana. And then he subsequently divorced Leah, Avol Konas v'achakach Girish, lo. Then, when Shimon dies, we would apply the rule, it seems to say, of Tzoras Erva to Chana. She would be the Tzora of Leah at one point in time, albeit not at the death of Shimon, but at one point in time there were Tzoros. And since Leah was the Achos Ishto of Reuven, so this would apply the din of Tzoras Erva. And therefore, here, lo, Shimon, when he died, would not have his wife fall, even though his wife was not directly related, but it was a Tzoras Erva at one point of Reuven's wife, Rachel. Therefore, in this situation, this seems to contradict our Mishnah, where we said, Vafilu Konas L'Besov Kirish, here it's only if they never were married at the same time. But if they were married for some period of time together at the same time that Leah and Chana were co-wives of Shimon, then this din doesn't apply. So we have this stira or minu, this Mishnah on Daf Lamed with the three brothers seems to contradict the way we just learned our Mishnah here. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yirmiya, you're 100% right. Tavra. Tavra is broken. It's smashed. The shin and the tuf are interchangeable. It's saying shavra, tavra. It clearly is impossible to reconcile the author of our Mishnah on Daf Beis with the author of this Mishnah of the Shlosha Achim on Daf Lamed. Mi Shoshana Zu, the one who taught our Mishnah, which seems to say, afilu konas ulbasov kirish, even if they had ever were one point married together, that's not a problem as long as at the time of the death Leah was not still in the picture, so then there is no din of Tzoras Erva. The one who taught our Mishnah on Daf Beis, Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu, could not have taught the one on Daf Lamed, because the one on Daf Lamed says that it's only if they were not married at the same time, then Chana could fall Yibam to Reuven. But if Chana and Leah were ever married at the same time, even though Leah was subsequently divorced or she died, and at the time of the death of Shimon, it's only Chana in the picture, this Mishnah on Daf Lamed says there wouldn't be an allowance to do Yibam. Hai Tana Sovar Misa Mapelis. The first Tana of our Mishnah on Daf Beis holds that we only look at the point of death. The Hai Tana on Daf Lamed Sovar Nisuim Harishonim Mapelim. No, if they were ever together at the same time, this is considered Tzaras Erva. The fact that at the death it's not Tzaras Erva is irrelevant. According to the Tana of the Mishnah on Daf Lamed, you only look were they ever Tzaras Erva. If they ever were Tzaras Erva, they ever were married at the same time, then there is no Yibum Chalitza. So again, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, you're right, the Tana of the Mishnah on Daf Beis cannot be the Tana of the Mishnah on Daf Lamed. The two are contradictory. Rava disagrees. Rava Amar, no. In fact, it could be the same author. The Tana of the Mishnah on Daf Beis does not disagree with the Mishnah on Daf Lamed. How come not? Because Li'olam Chatanu, it's really one Tanoic opinion. And he says, this is a style known as Vizu, Vein Tzorech Lomar Zu Ktani. Certainly, you don't have to tell me the second case. If the first case is true, when even if they live together at some point in time, nevertheless, they still fall to Yibam, like our Mishnah on Daf Beis, then certainly, you don't even have to tell me this, but we tell it anyway, the Mishnah on Daf Lamed says, even if they're not together at any point in time, the Din of Yibam applies. So therefore, this is a style known as Zu, the Ein Tzorech Lomar Zu Ktani. So therefore, both are the same Tanoic opinion. In both situations, they're not contradictory. There is no Din of Tzores Erva, as long as at the time of the death, they weren't married. So when Shimon dies in our case, Leah is not married to Shimon, and therefore Chana is not considered Tzores Erva. Even though, while they were married, they were simultaneously married to Shimon, that is irrelevant. And certainly, if they never were simultaneously married, that would also be not a case of Tzores Erva. So therefore, Rabbah says, in fact, the Mishnayos are not contradictory. And then we said in the Mishnah, V'kol she'yochol l'moyin, if one of these women was, the Chameshes Reinoshim, was a minor, and she could do Miyun, but she hadn't done Miyun to her first husband. But now, she's going to do Miyun to Shimon, the brother, who is the Erva with her. So we said, in that situation, we don't allow Yibam, but in that situation, we do require Chalitza with the co-wife. So, in the case where Reuven Nebuch passes away, and the two wives that he had, one, the Ketana is an Erva, he never had Miyun with her, she's still married to him at the time of Reuven's death, and then you have the other wife. So now, when they fall to Shimon, let's say Shimon's already married to Leah, the sister, as a Gedola, and Rachel, the sister, as a Ketana, now comes from an Yibam, plus another woman, the co-wife, the Tzores Erva, so in this situation, we don't allow the co-wife to undergo Yibam, but we do require Chalitza. So the Gemara says, "Utimoyin hashto." Wait a second. Why not let Rachel, the Ketana, Dirabanan wife, do Miyun with Shimon now, and then that marriage is totally uprooted. Certainly not having any relationship with Shimon, but it uproots even the marriage retroactively that she had with Reuven. And therefore, now there never was such a marriage, there is no Erva, and therefore the Tzara should fall to Yibam, v'tisyabim. Why don't we say that? Now we had this discussion previously, and we see it here now in the Gemara again. So Gemara wants to say, oh, this is a raya, lema messiah, let us say that this is a proof, since we don't allow this, to what Rabbi Oshaya said. Rabbi Oshaya, what did Rabbi Oshaya say? Damar Rabbi Oshaya, mima enes lema maro, veino mima enes lezikoso. Rabbi Oshaya has an opinion that says that when you do miyun to the Yavam, that only works to negate a Maimar. If he, in fact, gave you Kiddushin prior to doing Yibam, so then Miyun can work to negate that Maimar. So if she then has Chalitza, so there would not be a need to do a Get. So in that situation, only in that situation does the Miyun negate Maimar. However, the Einam Mamenes Lezikoso, but the Miyun, it's too late, according to Rav Oshaya. If Reuven died while they still were married, so then that marriage cannot be broken up, according to Rav Oshaya, and this woman falls to Shimon, and you cannot get out of that via doing miyun. And therefore, since it's only the rabbanim marriage, the tzara cannot go scot-free, but you can't do yibam because there's a din the rabbanan of tzaras erva, so you must do chalitza. So according to Rav Ashayi, the miyun only will work against the maimer if Shimon did maimer to her, but it won't work against the original zika once Reuven was married to her, and at the time of his death, they still were married, midirabbanan, she did not do miyun to Reuven, so she cannot do miyun to Shimon. That's Rav Ashayi's opinion. Let us say that this goes in accord with that. Shimon says, no, not necessarily so. Lo. We could say over here that tzaras erva is shiny. We could say over here that the tzara of an erva is a different din. The rabbis made a gzera because it looks too much, even though miyun technically would work to negate Reuven's marriage. If she does a miyun to Shimon, the yavam, it technically would negate Reuven's marriage, but this is too much in appearances' sake to look like she was really married to Reuven. Oh, and tzaras erva is permitted. And therefore, this is what we learned previously. The Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel. Rami Bar Yecheskel had learned in the following brisa: Mi'ena bebal. If this young girl had done miyun to Reuven during her lifetime, so then that marriage is totally abrogated. It's as if it never existed, and she could actually be permitted to all of her what would be her former husband, but not in halacha. Halachically, not considered ever being married. So she was married to Reuven, and then she did miyun to Reuven. So she could marry Yaakov, Reuven's father. She could marry any other relatives that normally would be usher, even after a divorce, even after a death. So all of those relatives that would normally be usher, in this situation, muterisly obi, because the miyun totally abrogates that marriage. However, miyun abiyavam, if she never did miyun to Reuven, and Nebuch, he died, and now she wants to do miyun to the yavam, while technically that uproots the marriage, the rabbi said that asur liyavam, she's no longer allowed to go and marry those relatives. Why? She's forbidden to her father-in-law. Because even though there is no marriage, and technically it's not her father-in-law, alma mishas nefila nireis kichaloso, it looks, for all intents and purposes, that she was married to Reuven. She is the widow. And while she does miyun now to Shimon, and technically she no longer is the widow of Reuven, it doesn't look that way. If she were to go and marry Reuven and Shimon's father, it would look like she was marrying her father-in-law, like the father-in-law was marrying his daughter-in-law, and it's for appearance's sake not allowed, and therefore midrabanan, it's no good. So just like we said that there, hachanami, in the case where you have the miyun done with the ketana wife, so we don't allow the tzara to have yibam. We do require chalitza because it's only midrabanan, so you can't just let her go scot-free. But we view it as mishas nefila nires ketzaras bito. It looks in this situation like the other wife is the tzara of an erva, such as bito, and therefore we don't allow the woman to go off without anything. She does require chalitza, even though technically min hadin that marriage has been totally uprooted. Now we get to the next Mishnah finally. This Mishnah has been talked about quite a bit already, and this Mishnah was unique in the sense that you couldn't have the continuation of the tzaras, so you can't have over here a marriage that wasn't allowed to Shimon, but would be allowed to Levi or to Yehuda, Yisachar, Zulun down the line. Because the 15 cases that we mentioned in the Mishnah were a specific erva only to one brother, Shimon. Whereas these six cases that we're mentioning now are not only an erva to Shimon, but because they're through the father, they're an erva over here to Levi, Yehuda, Dan, Naphtali, etc. And therefore, Yibam would never be able to occur to the other brothers. And that's why you couldn't have the case of tzaros sayin, and that's why these six are listed separately, because there is no din over here of tzaros sayin. What are these six? Shesh arayos chamuros me'elu. There are six that are more chomerdik. Now, it doesn't mean chomerdik in terms of the punishment. These are all very high level. The chameshes v'noshim were all chiyav of kares or higher. So it's not that they're more chomer in terms of the din, but they're more chomer in the sense that mipnei shenisuos lacherim, they can only get married to somebody else. They could never get married through Yibam to any of the other brothers. So even though there's an erva to Shimon in the first 15, they could get married to Levi or Yehuda, in these six that we're going to mention in a second, they can't get married to Shimon, but they also can't get married through Yibam to Levi, Yehuda, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher, all the other brothers as well. Mipnation is only liacherim and not to any of the other brothers. Therefore, sarosei and mutaros. In this situation, you never have the case where there's a tzaras erva involved, and therefore because they'll never fall in Yibam. So therefore, if they were married to somebody else, totally unrelated to Yibam, La B'makom Mitzvah, you have the paradox that we pointed out previously, that B'makom Mitzvah, the Tzaras Erva is Aser. But if it's not B'makom Mitzvah, so then the Tzara of the Erva is actually permitted. So again, if Reuven is married to one sister, let's say Rachel, and Yankel, unrelated totally, is married to the other sister, Leah, and Yankel also has another wife, Chana, and then Yankel dies, and there's two widows. So obviously, Reuven cannot go and marry his wife's sister, but he would be allowed to go marry Chana, the tzara of his wife's sister, because it's not B'mokum Yibam. She's a woman totally unrelated to him, and therefore he's allowed to go and marry the tzara of his sister when it's not B'mokum Yibam. Fine. So that's Tzorosei and Mutaros. Who are these six women? So Imo, we already discussed this previously. Rashi seems to be contradictory in different places as to whether this is talking about the wife of the father, who is the person's mother, or it's talking about Anusas Aviv. It was a woman that was assaulted by Yaakov and now is the mother of Reuven, and therefore is the wife of Yaakov, or as the girlfriend of Yaakov. None of the brothers, not only Shimon, but none of the brothers, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, and Dan, Naphtali, are also not allowed to go and marry her. So that's Imo. That's the first of the six, and you'll see the other five are similar. The Ashes of Aviv, this would be a wife of the father, not the mother of any of these brothers specifically, but the wife of the father. The Achos of Aviv, if it was the sister of the father. So all of these are paternal relatives through the father that are forbidden, not only to Shimon, but to all the other brothers as well, because they're from the same father. Then Achoso Me Aviv, this would be a sister of the brothers that came a paternal sister. So there's Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and there's also Tamar. So there's a sister over here through the father, and this sister would also be forbidden to all of the brothers. Then the Eshes Achi Aviv, this would be a paternal aunt. So this would be the father's brother's wife. So a paternal aunt through marriage. Eshes, the wife of Achi Aviv, the uncle, the father's brother. And finally, the sixth and final one is the Eshes Achiv, the wife of your brother, Aviv. This would be any of the other brothers' wives. So they're all also because of Eshes Ach. So these six women can never go down the line. They're all also not only to Shimon, but also to Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, etc., all the other brothers. Finally, we now have the statement that I've been alluding to throughout, that on Mishnah, on Daf Beis, was only the opinion of Beis Hillel, that the Tzoras Erva is forbidden to have Yibam v'chalitza. But now we introduce the opinion of Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai omrim matirin Hatzaros la'achim. Beis Shammai says that there is no din of Tzaras Erva to forbid Yibam. The Erva is forbidden, but the Tzaras Erva is not forbidden. Totally against everything we learned in this Masechta till now. Beis Shammai is matir in the situation where Reuven had a sister as his wife, Rachel. The other sister's Leah is married to Shimon. And then Reuven has another wife, Chana. So now Reuven dies childless. Chana, as well as the first sister, Rachel, fall in Yibam to Shimon. So Beis Hillel, our Mishnah on Daf Beis, the opinion of Beis Hillel, says that this is Tzaras Erva. Chana is the Tzara of the Erva, the Achos Ishto of Shimon, Rachel. So in this situation, there is no Yibam, not only in the Erva, but not even on the Tzaras Erva. But Beis Shammai disagrees with this fundamental din. Beis Shammai says, Matirin Hatzoros La'achim. No, Chana in this situation does fall to Yibam. It's only the Erva that doesn't fall to Yibam. But Chana certainly can fall to Yibam. Or Beis Hillel Losrim. And here we see that this is the opinion of Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says, no, the Tzoros Erva also doesn't require Yibam or Chalitza. A fundamental difference in understanding this din of Yibam between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And we turn to Yud Gimel Omid Beis with nafkamina, with ramifications of this din, such as Chalzu. If in fact they did chalitza, Shimon did chalitza to Chana in this situation, the one that wasn't the erva, the tzoras erva. So Beis Shammai post lim lakuna. Beis Shammai says this chalitza, chalitzasa, chalitza, as Rashi says, this was a valid chalitza, and midir rabbanan, we don't allow a chalutza to go and get married to a kohen. The reason is because it's very similar to a grusha. And a grusha is also midaraisa to marry a kohen. So chalutza is midirabanan. Grusha and chalutza are both forbidden to marry a kohen. Grusha midaraisa, chalutza midirabanan. So Beis Shammai says this is a valid chalitza. Chalitza so chalitza. And therefore, this woman, Chana, the Sara of the Erva, Rachel, who was Achos Ishto of Shimon, his wife Leah, is not allowed to go marry a Kohen when she has Chalitza, which she is required to have Chalitza. Beis Hillel Machshirin. Beis Hillel says, no, there is no Chalitza over here. Hare kicholetzis min anochri. This is no different than if somebody from the street just gave her Chalitza. It has no impact. It's not a real Chalitza. And therefore, this woman is still permitted to go marry a Kohen. Furthermore, if there was Yibum done, according to Beis Shammai, Yibum is allowed and is a mitzvah. This Yavmu, if in fact Shimon did Yibum with Chana, the Tzoras Erva, it's a perfectly good Yibum. Beis Shammai Machshirin, and say, this woman, if then Shimon were to die and she were to become a widow, she would be still allowed to marry a Kohen. A widow is allowed to marry a Kohen. There is no Erva over here. There was no Isser over here. And therefore, Beis Shammai would say, this woman, if she's widowed from Shimon, could go marry a Kohen. Beis Hillel Poslim, Beis Hillel say, no, she was Mizana. This Yibum was not allowed. It was an Isser of Kares. So she is basically now Nivala Leposula. She is, as Rashi uses that Lashon, and this is a famous Lashon that we have throughout the Gemara's elsewhere, if she had relations with somebody that would make her into a Zona, essentially, so then having relations with such a person, albeit unintentionally, she thought it was allowed, Beis Hillel would say, in this situation, she's possible to go and marry a Kohen. So you have a tremendous nafkamina here between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says you're doing a mitzvah. Beis Hillel says what you're doing is a terrible isser. And nevertheless, even though they had such divergent opinions, even though Beis Hillel would say that such a wife was forbidden in Yibum, and Beis Shammai says it's a mitzvah to do Yibum, so Elu Osrim Elu Matirim, Beis Hillel says that this woman was not allowed to be taken in Yibum, and Beis Shammai says it's a mitzvah to take her in Yibum, and Elu Postim Elu Machshirim, and in fact, if then Shimon were to pass away, and this woman was left a widow, Beis Shammai would say she's perfectly muteris to marry a Kohen, and Beis Hillel says she's not muteris to marry a Kohen, even though they had such divergent opinions. This is a beautiful machlokas l'shem shemayim that wasn't carried out outside of the Beis Medrash to be a fight. Lo nimnu Beis Shammai militzo noshim Beis Hillel. The women of Beis Shammai were not forbidden to go and marry into Beis Hillel and vice versa. Now, if Beis Hillel, in fact, said that such a woman was possible, how could they allow this? So the answer is that they would explain to them, this woman is not a woman who underwent Yibam. They would trust each other and say, yes, according to you, you wouldn't be allowed to marry this woman, but according to you, you would be allowed to marry this woman. So they trusted each other, and it didn't stop them from marrying into each other's families. According to Beis Shammai, those women were not allowed to get married to the Shuk. They needed to have Yibam with Chalitza. According to Beis Hillel, these women were not allowed to go marry a Kohen, for example, because they had become Nivel of the Apostle Law and were forbidden to marry a Kohen. Nevertheless, below Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai allowed each other to marry each other. No problem, as long as they explain to them, this one is permitted, this one is not permitted. And call out Taharos, Vatumos, Shoyu Elu Mitarim, Elu Mitarim. Likewise, they had many other machlokis in regards to whether something was Torah or Tameh. Nevertheless, even though they disagreed with fundamental principles, they were still friends. Elo Nimnu, Osin, Taharos, Elu, Agabi Elu. They would lend their kalim and say, yes, in this situation, you can use this kalim. We know your shita, that's not a problem over here. In another situation, they say, no, you can't use this kalim. According to you, it's Tameh. According to us, it's Tar, and vice versa. So therefore, they remained good friends outside the Beis Medrash. And even though they had valid halachic differences between them, that didn't prevent them from having good, wonderful, kosher, social lives together. Gemara starts and says, "Amar Rishon ben Pazi, my time of the Beis Shammai. What's the reason that Beis Shammai says that a Tzoras Erev is allowed?" Beis Hillel disagrees. What's the reason Beis Shammai Tzoras Erev is allowed? Dechsib, the pasuk tells us, "Lo siya eishes hameis hachutza liish zor." This woman, whose husband Nebuch died without children, she's not allowed to go to liish zor hachutza. What does it mean hachutza? It implies that there are two wives. One is chutza, as opposed to Penimis, there's two wives that we're dealing with here with. So one, the chutza, is the one that's not an erva. So she's not allowed to go get married, Lish Zor, to the shuk. She's not allowed to go get married to somebody else until she has either Yibam or Chalitza. If she has Yibam, then she's married now to Shimon. If she has Chalitza, then she's permissible to marry Lashuk. Only the chutza is allowed to do that. Miklal, the Ika Penimis, implying Beis Shammai says that there is a Penimis, one who is a relative, an erva. The Amar Rachmana, Losia, only the one who is chutza cannot go and get married l'shuk. In other words, she requires yibum v'chalitza. But the pnimis, that one doesn't require yibum v'chalitza. She's an erva. What does Beis Hillel say to this? Well, Beis Hillel, they darshan it differently. They say the word chutzah is needed for the following drasha. They need for the drasha Yehuda Marav. What is that? The Amar Yehuda Marav. Minayin shein kiddushin tovsin biyavama. How do we know that kiddushin are not able to be tovis on a yavama? In other words, this woman who has fallen in yibam to Shimon, so she is not able to accept kiddushin from somebody else until either Shimon does to her yibam, of course, then she's a married woman, or until he does to her chalitza, and now she's muteris lashuk. But until then, she's not allowed to get accepting kiddushin. The kiddushin aren't going to be tofes if somebody gives her kiddushin. How do we know that? Shenemar, this very pasuk, lo siya eishes ameis hachutzo liizor. This means lo siya is a lashon of havaya. Lo siya ba havaya lizor. She cannot accept kiddushin to a strange man, to a person from the shuk, until she has chalitza. That's what they need the pasuk for. Now, why doesn't Beis Shammai learn like that? Or Beis Shammai, they say no. Does it say lachutz? Mikasiv lachutz, that she can't get married to somebody else? It says chutza. That implies that there's a chutza wife and a penimis wife. And that's the erva, is the penimis wife, and the chutza wife is the one that's not. She's a tsaris erva, like Beis Shammai darshan. What does Beis Hillel respond to that? Beis Hillel, they say, no. The word chutzah is the equivalent of lachutz. That's a dikduk point. Kiven dechsev chutzah, the hey at the end, it didn't say chutz, it said chutzah, so the hey at the end is like a lamed at the beginning. Kiman dechsev lamed lachutz domi. It's as if there was a lamed up front, as if it said lachutz. Chutzah means lachutz. In other words, the Tanya, we learned in a brisa, from the Chem Yomer, we find many examples of this. If you wanted to put a lamed there to say to this, a lamed at the beginning, so alternatively, if you put a hey at the end, it's the same thing. Hitil law hakos of hey besofa to teach us the same thing. Betonu the Rishmol, learn the base medrash of Rishmol, several examples of this. Kegon, elim. It doesn't say elim, it says elima. It doesn't say le elim, but it says elima. It means going towards the place called elim. It doesn't say machanaim, it says machanaimo, going towards machanaim. It didn't say le machanaim, but machanaimo means the same thing. Likewise, Mitzrayim, it didn't have to say le Mitzrayim, it could have said Mitzrayimo. And likewise, it could have said divlosoimo or Yerushalaimo, or the gears of the Bach is Hamidbora instead of Midbora. In any event, all this, the hay at the end, is the equivalent of a lamed at the beginning. So that's how Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai argue on this pasuk, Lucia, Eishes Ameis Hachutza, Lizor, how do you dash in the word Hachutza? Nu, Ubeis Shammai, the Rebbe Yehuda Amar Rav, Minolahu, how does Beis Shammai know that you're not allowed to go get married to somebody until you have Chalitza done to you? So they say, because the pasuk says, don't get married, Lucia, Eishes Ameis Hachutza, Liish Zor. You're not allowed to get married to an Ish Zor. No, that's a very good answer. Ubeis Hillel, Nami, Tebuklo, Mi Lish Zor. Why don't they use Lish Zor? The word says, Taka, they do. And Achanami, they actually use the word Lish Zor to teach us this din. So then what do you need Chutzah for? We just said Chutzah was teaching us that din. So then Chutzah Lamali. So the word says, Larabo Sarusa. It comes to teach us that even if there only was Erisin, the first stage of marriage with Reuven, and then Reuven died, that you still have all the dinim of Yibam over here, even though the marriage with Reuven was never consummated. So that's what the words of Chutza are teaching to Beis Hillel. No, V'idach Beis Shammai, how did they learn this out? Arusa. So they learn it out from, it didn't say Chutza, it said Ha-Chutza. So they learn it out from the extra hey. Me, instead of saying Chutza, it said Ha-Chutza. So that extra hey can teach us that din as well. No, why doesn't Beis Hillel do this? Oh, the extra hey, they don't darshan. V'idach Chutza, Ha-Chutza, lo mashulu. They don't say the extra hey at the beginning. Really would be significant to teach us this din. That's the first answer for Beis Shammai's understanding why the Tzaras Erva is permitted. Rav Amar, Tamayu de Beis Shammai is the Ein Isser Chalal Isser. The reasoning of Beis Shammai goes as follows. You have over here two Isurim. You have the Isser of Eishes Ach, and you have the Isser of Achos Ishto. So once you have the Isser of Achos Ishto, the Isser of Eishes Ach can't take effect. She's already ushered to you as Achos Ishto. So when Shimon married the second sister Leah, so the first sister is already ushered to him as Achos Ishto. Now when Reuven goes and marries Rachel, the first sister, she's already prohibited to him as Achos Ishto, and the Isser of Eishes Ach can't take effect. Ein Isser Chalal Isser. She's already forbidden to him as Achos Ishto, so therefore the Isser of Eishes Ach doesn't take effect. So the Gemara says that only works out in one scenario. Teinach Hecha Denosa Meis V'Achekach Nosa Chai. So this would work out if Reuven first married, so the Isser of Eishes Ach already took effect, V'Achekach Nosa Chai, and then Shimon married the second sister, Leah. So in this situation, the Isser of Eishes Ach took effect first, and therefore achos ishto doesn't take effect. Lo osi isra achos isha v'chayil a isra eshesach. And in that situation, she wouldn't be at Tzores Erva because Eshesach took precedence to the Erva status of Achos Ishto. And then, according to Beis Shammai, if Reuven were to die, there was no Isser over here of Achos Ishto. There only was an Isser of Eshesach because Achos Ishto couldn't take effect on top of that. And that's why the Tzores Erva, since there was no Erva over here of Achos Ishto, so there is no Tzores Erva, that's why Chana, the other wife of Reuven, would be allowed to go and fall into Yibum or have Chalitza done with Shimon. That's great if that was the order. But in this case that I said, El Nosachai, if Shimon had first married Leah, so now Reuven subsequently only marries Rachel, the sister, so the Isser of Achos Ishto was first prior to the Isser of Eshes Ach, and in this situation, Achos Isha Kodim. So in this situation, there would be Tzaras Erva. So why would Beis Shammai allow Yibam or Chalitza in this scenario to the Tzara? So Gemara says no. Kivan delo osi iser eishes ach v'chayela iser achos ishto. So in this situation, since the iser of eishes ach cannot take effect because you already have the iser of achos isha, achos ishto, so then havi lo tzoris erva shelo b'makom mitzvah. It's as if she never fell in Yibam. We don't consider that falling in Yibam. There was no status of eishes ach. There was only the status of achos ishto. And therefore, in that situation, there is no Tzoris Erva, and therefore, Bisharya. That's why Bishamai would say in both scenarios, whichever one married first is irrelevant, both scenarios, the Tzara of Reuven, who wasn't the Erva, would be permitted in Yibam or Chalitza. So that's the second understanding of Beis Shammai. Now we quote the Mishnah, where we said, Choltz Beis Shammai poslim b'chulei, that Beis Shammai says that if there was a Chalitza done, it is a valid Chalitza, as Rashi again points out, chalitza so chalitza, and therefore this woman, midrabbanan, is not allowed to marry a kohen as part of the din of grusha of a chalutza. Again, grusha is daraisa, chalutza is midrabbanan. For says pshita, obviously, if you say that they have to undergo chalitza, so then of course she's going to be a surah to marry a kohen. So Gemara says no, as opposed to lafuke, this takes you out of the din of the Rav Yochanan Ben Uri. What did he say? The Rav Yochanan Ben Uri said, Bo unisakin lehem letzoros shu holtzos lo misyadmos. Rav Yochanan Ben Uri said, listen, why should we have a machlokes over here between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that's going to lead to tremendous potential ramifications? Why don't we say that everybody should undergo chalitza? Mimarashach. Beis Shammai would say you're obligated to undergo chalitza, and Beis Hillel, no, nishkeferlo, so you underwent chalitza. And therefore, but this then, according to Rav Yochanan Ben Uri, is that every woman should undergo chalitza in this situation, and it wouldn't have to be any machlokas, because everybody would say that she underwent chalitza. So the answer is no. According to Rav Yochanan Ben Uri, the chalitza is chal, but according to Beis Hillel, the chalitza is nachal. This chalitza is no different, as Rashi used the lashon, kicholetzis min hanochri. If a person walks up to a woman and they undergo chalitza together, so that has no valid validity whatsoever. And therefore, Rav Yochanan Ben Uri would say that, according to Beis Hillel, the chalitza is a chalitza, but Lamaisa, by telling us that only Beis Shammai says the chalitza is a chalitza, Beis Hillel holds that the chalitza is not a chalitza. Kamash Malon, but Beis Hillel, Machshirim, no, she's still, even if she underwent chalitza, according to Beis Hillel, it's as if nothing happened. Then we quote the Mishnah, we said, Nisyabnu Beis Hillel posel v'chule. If, in fact, this Tzaras Erva underwent Yibam, like Beis Shammai requires or allows, so then, according to Beis Hillel, she is psula lakuna, because she was nevelis leposula. Gemara says, Hasu Lomeli, why did you have to tell me this? Once we know the first din about the Chalitza, so we know the second din about the Yibam. Gemara says, yeah, for parallelism, I did the Tonu Chaltzu, Tonu Nami Nisiyabu. So yeah, it just lists both similar situations, but once you know the din by Chalitza, so then you know the din by Yibam as well. It's not awesome. We learned in a Mishnah. This Mishnah is found in Megillah. We didn't learn this that long ago, and so appropriate. We're coming up on Megillah right now. I'm saying this year before the Megillah reading. The people that will be listening to this on Boba Yom of the Daf Yomi, they'll be listening to it after the Megillah reading. So the Mishnah there in the very first Daf of Megillah said that the Megillah can be read, Megillah Nikras, on several possibilities, not just like on Yudalid or in Shushan Purim today in Yerushalayim, for example, on Tesvav. But technically, the Megillah could be read, Megillah Nikras, in certain situations, B'Achadasor, B'Shemasor, B'Shloshasor, B'Abarasor, B'Chamishasor. Technically, you could read the Megillah on the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, or the 15th of the month of Adar. Lo Pachas L'Yosir, never before the 11th and never after the 15th. That's what the Mishnah had stated. And Omar Reish Lakish, Le Rav Yochanan, Reish Lakish said about this to Rav Yochanan, Ikri Kan Losis Godudu. The pasuk tells us that you're not allowed to go make separate camps in Klal Yisrael. Lo sad su agudos agudo. This pasuk is telling us don't make separate sections in Klal Yisrael. In other words, don't make lo sasu agudos agudos. Don't make different dinim. Why do some people read it on the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, the 15th? Everybody should read it on the same day. That's the question that Reish Lakish asked Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, "Hi, los is go to do mi boy le legufe." So before Rav Yochanan can answer, the Gemara says, but you need the word losis go to do to teach us the basic din. The Amar Rachmana, losasu chabur ames. This is talking about a real din. The Rachmana losan, if a person lost a relative that they're very, very sad and emotional about, so don't go and cut your skin. Don't make agudos in your skin. So don't darshin it, losasu agudos, agudos in Klal Yisrael. This is needed for the din of don't make cuts in your skin, Rachmana Litzlan, in your sadness over the loss of a mace. So Gemara says, yeah, if that was just the din that it needed to teach us, it wouldn't have used the word losis go to do. Im kain, if that was the only halacha that we were learning from here, it would have said, le makra, the pasuk should have said lo si go to do. Why did it say tis go to do, the extra tough, my tis go to do, to teach us both. Shemami no, lahachi hudiyasa. It's coming to teach us both the din that you're not allowed to go make the cuts in your skin, as well as you can't make chabur in your skin, as well as that you shouldn't have separate encampments. Lo sasu agudas agudas, don't have different halachos lemaisa for the same situation. So that's the question that Reish Lakish asked with Yochanan. How come we read the Megillah on all these different days? So the Gemara says, Vema kula lahachyu da'asa. Maybe, in fact, that's the only din that it teaches us about making agudos agudos. How do we know that it really is coming to teach us the din of chabura, the lo sasu chabura meis? Gemara says, no. If that's what it wanted to say, im kain, the pasuk would have been written, le makra lo so go do. Why does it say, my lo tis go did do, shmami no tarti? In fact, it teaches us don't make a chabura and also don't make agudos agudos. No, so that's the question that Reish Lakish asked to Rav Yochanan. So how come we read it on different days? So Amalei, Rav Yochanan responds back to Reish Lakish, Ad kan lo shanisa. Why are you asking me this question only now? Haven't you learned the following Mishnah, a Mishnah Psochem? This is the famous parak of Makum Shenagu, different halachos apply in different places. So it said over there, Makum Shenagu lasos malacha be'arvi besochem ad chatzos, in places where the custom was that they would in fact allow malacha to be done until chatzos. After chatzos, everybody agrees you shouldn't do malacha. But there were different customs. Some places they had the custom of not doing malacha even before chatzos. So then they're allowed to osin. If they had the custom to do malacha, they're allowed to do malacha before chatzos and they're not over anything. Alternatively, Makom Shinogu Shalo Lassos, in places that have the custom not to do malacha, so ain't osin. So how come you're not concerned about losis go to do over there? Why are you only asking me the question over here and not over there? So Amale, so Reish Lakish says to Rav Yochanan, the reason why I didn't ask it over there was Amina Lechoana Isura. I'm talking with you about reading the Megillah on specific days. The Omar Rav Shemin Bar Abba Omar Rav Yochanan Lekayim Esimei HaPurim Ha'ilu Bismanehem, where the Pasuk in the Megillah says that you have to go read the Megillah Lekayim Esimei HaPurim Ha'ilu Bismanehem on the days. So there it says Zmanim Harbe Tiknu Lehem Chacham, and the rabbi set up many days. The At Amrisli Minhaga, and you're bringing me a Raya from a minhag? So why are you saying I should have asked you the question about Malkum Shinagu? That's only a minhag. I'm bringing you a question on the din. Why did the Chachamim set up to read the Megillah on different days when it's a problem of losis go to do? So the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan responds to Reish Lakish, Vahosam lavi surahavya. Why are you saying that it's not an issur over there in regards to Pesach? What none? Balayla beishamay osrin or beisilomatirin. That you see, it's not just the minhag. Beishamay says it's not allowed. It's also to do malacha on the night of Erev Pesach, and Beis Hillel says you're allowed to do it on the night of Erev Pesach. So why are you saying that this is a custom? That's a din. So Reish Lakish says back to Rav Yochanan, Malay, Asam Aroa Omer, because there, the reason why I didn't ask you the question over there was because if somebody sees somebody not doing work, Asam Aroa, if somebody sees you not doing work, Omer, Malachu de Lesle. It's not that this guy's bedafka not doing work. He doesn't have any work to do. He's unemployed. He finished his job. So therefore, there's no shaila from there. That's why I'm asking the Losis go to the question over here on the Megillah. Now, why was this brought in over here? For the following reason. V'ha, why didn't Rabbi Shlokish ask Rabbi Yochanan from our Mishnah? V'ha, Beishamei Matirin Atzoros La'achin U'Beisilil Osrim. Why don't we say that this is a problem of Losis Godadu? That some people are going to follow the opinion of Beishamei, and other people are going to follow the opinion of Beisilil. So how come this isn't a problem of Losis Godadu from our Mishnah? So Rish Lakish would respond back to that from Rabbi Yochanan, Mi Sabris Osu Beishamei Kidivrehem. Who says that Beishamei actually did what they said? Lo Osu Beishamei Kidivrehem. In fact, Beishamei, while they technically allowed the Chalitza to be done, or even Yibim to be done with the Tzaris Erva, they didn't follow that in practice. Lo Osu Beishamei Kidivrehem. They didn't follow their own opinion, and therefore, Rabbi Yochanan, he thought that they did. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Osu V'Yosu. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan asked him, why didn't you ask from our Mishnah? Because in fact, he says this would have been the good question to ask, Losis Godadu from our Mishnah. And they're arguing, in fact, Ubipluksa the Rabu Shmuel. And they're arguing over here the same argument that Rabu Shmuel had. The Rav Omer, Rav's opinion was, Lo Asu Beishamei Kidivrehem. Rav says that, in fact, Beishamei did not carry out their shita of allowing Yibim to be done. Shmuel Amar, no, in fact, also V'yosu, like Rav Yochanan. Rav is going like Rish Lakish, and Shmuel is going like Rav Yochanan to say that, in fact, Beishamai did, in fact, follow their opinion and do Yibam. Now, Amos, what are we talking about over here? Ilemo Kodem Basko. There's a famous Gemara in Erevin on Daf Yud Gimel, which says that there was a machlokas between Beishil and Beishamai as to what to do, and elsewhere there's a famous machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer as to what we should do, and a Basko came out and said that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Now, my time of the Mandir Melawasu, according to the opinion that says Rav Yochanan and Shmuel, that they didn't in fact follow their opinion, that's because it was before the Basko that they said their Shita, and now after the Basko, they admitted to Beis Hillel. Wait a second, if you're saying that that's true, so then after the Basko, so then why did Rav and Reish Lakish say that Beis Shammai still persisted in the din? If the Basko said that they should follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, so why did they persist in their din? So Gemara says two possible tirushim. Number one, Ibai Yisemo, it was called Basko, that they only said this before the Basko, and not after the Basko. So the Shita of Rav and Reish Lakish was only prior to the Basko. Alternatively, the boy same or the Basko, or it could even be after the Basko. What are the two answers? So the first one is as follows: E boy same that it was kodem Basko, that this machlokus is only before the Basko. So what was the scenario? Uchagon the Beis Hillel Ruba. Beis Hillel was the majority opinion, and therefore they should have followed the opinion of Beis Hillel. So Laman de Omer Lo Asu, according to the opinion, says that Beis Shammai did in fact follow Beis Hillel and didn't follow their own opinion. Daha Beis Hillel Ruba. That's because everybody agreed that Beis Shammai should follow the majority opinion, nothing to do with the Basko. Daha Beis Hillel Ruba. So that's why this was not done Lamaisa. And Laman de Omer Asu, according to Reish Lakish and to Rav, who said no, that they followed it. No. When do you say you have to follow the majority? That's when they're equal. So this is a machlokas between people of equal standing, and so group A is the majority, the 60%. Group B of equal standing is the minority, 40%. That's when you follow the majority. However, Reish Lakish and Rav hold that Beis Shammai were that's why they were allowed to go and follow their opinion, because they were sharper. They were bigger Talmid Chachamim. Even though they were a minority, they were allowed to follow their own opinion. So that's according to the opinion that it was Kodem Basko. Even if it was after the Basko, so how come Reish Lakish and Rav held that Beis Shammai didn't have to follow the opinion of the Basko? So Mandi Amar Lo Asu, according to the opinion of Shmuel and Rav Yochanan, because the Nafka Basko, because the Basko said we should follow the opinion of Beis Hillel. So therefore, Beis Shammai was more than Beis Hillel. But according to Rav and Reish Lakish, the Nafka Basko, so why didn't they listen? Mandi Amar Asu, that's Rabbi Yeshua. That goes like the famous machlokes I mentioned, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, where they were arguing about the Tanur Achinoi, certain time, whether it was Tommy or not, and a Basko rang out and said, Rabbi Eliezer's right. And Rabbi Shua responded, the Omar, a Mashkich in the Basko. We don't follow a Basko. Lo Bashamayimi. We don't follow what Kadosh Baruch Hu, quote, sends in a Basko. We have to derive and figure out the din ourselves. And therefore, Reish Lakish and Rav said, even though there was a Basko, we don't follow the Basko. And therefore, Beis Shammai was entitled to go and follow their opinion. So this, again, is a double machlokes. We have Reish Lakish and Rav saying that Beis Shammai did, in fact, do their opinion of Yibam or Chalitza. And we have the opinion of Shmuel and Rav Yochanan that says that Beis Shammai was moda eventually to Beis Hillel and didn't actually follow their opinion. Now, we're still in the middle of this sugya. We haven't answered the question, why is this not a problem of losis go to do? And Mitzvah Shem will pick this up tomorrow and continue with this discussion. With this, we conclude today's shiur.